This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What we're going to be tackling today is the topic which a lot of people have been asking about, a lot of listeners have been asking, what are the times of the day when dua is accepted? So inshallah, that is what we're going to focus on today in details, the times of the day when dua is accepted. Not just the times of the day, but even the conditions, because there are certain conditions a person finds himself in or herself in which makes dua more acceptable. So first we will look at the times of the day when dua is accepted, and then we will look at the conditions where duas are accepted, and then we will end off with some of the things which stop duas from being accepted. So I hope you are taking notes inshallah, as there's a lot of information, important information coming our way today, all of which will assist us inshallah in having our du'as accepted. Before we begin, a brief reminder of what we covered in our previous episode, that for our du'as to be accepted, we need to have a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be praying 5 times a day, fulfilling our obligations, trying our best to be good Muslims. No one's perfect, but if we try our best, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins and accept our du'as. And the du'as need to be made sincerely and real du'as. They should not be ritual du'as done for the sake of everybody else is making du'a. No, it needs to be a real du'a from the heart, which we want to be accepted. And we also said that du'as are not accepted overnight. We need to be patient, because first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. He tests us to see, are we just making du'a, and then when the du'a is not accepted, we're going to stop, or will we keep making du'a until it is accepted? And one last point before we go into the recommended times for du'a is that sometimes the du'a is not accepted in the way that we wanted. Because sometimes what we wanted and what we asked for is not necessarily what is good for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our du'a in a different way, by giving us something else, or giving us something better, or reserving it to give us something in paradise. So even if we think our du'a is not accepted, that is not the case, that is not the reality. Now, we all want to know what are the times of the day when du'as are accepted, because we want to make sure that we are making du'a at that time. And the most important time of the day for making du'a, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, is the last third of the night, which we know as tahajjud time, the time of qiyamul layl. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about the last third of the night in hadith found in both Bukhari and Muslim, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, "Our Lord, our Rabb, descends every night in a way suiting His Majesty during the last third of the night to the skies of this world and asks, who is making dua to me so that I can respond to him? Who is asking me so that I can give him? Who is asking for my forgiveness so that I can forgive him?" So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, not like how a human descends, but in a way which only Allah knows and which suits His Majesty. And in the last day of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, who is making dua, I will answer it. So that is definitely a time when du'as are accepted. And in another hadith found in Tirmizi and Nasa'i, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest any worshipper can be to his Lord is during the last part of the night. So if you can be amongst those who will remember Allah at that time, do so. Now we need to stop here and think, why are du'as specifically acceptable at the last one third of the night? What's so special about that time? One of the things we can look at here is that there are very, very few people who make dua at that time of the night. When it comes to the last third of the night, humans are of three types. Those who are indulged in evil at that time, because we know at that time of the night, people are out at the nightclubs and the casinos, and people are involved in sihr at that time of the night. Robberies and stealing takes place at that time of the night. So those involved in evil are up and doing evil. The majority of humans at that time of the night are sleeping, because we know that's the best time to sleep. That's the time when we get the most sleep. So most of us are asleep. But there are few worshippers of Allah who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who have a strong sense of taqwa, who spend that time of the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, because they have chosen the one time of the day when everybody else is either sleeping or indulged in sin. They have chosen that time of the day to worship Allah, their du'as are accepted. So we can see that this is a very, very important time of the day. Someone who wakes up and prays salah, prays the Hajj salah, this is a sign of a higher level of iman, and this makes their du'as worthy of acceptance. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is reported in Muslim, there is an hour at night that no Muslim happens to be asking Allah for anything in either this world or the afterlife, except that it will be given to him. And this happens every night. So every night, there is an hour during the last third of the night where all du'as are accepted. All du'as. And of course, it's only those who are praying tahajjud who get this time, or those who wake up at night to make du'a. If we don't have the strength to wake up for tahajjud, or we find ourselves lazy to wake up for tahajjud, maybe we should just open our eyes and make du'a while in bed, because we're still making du'a at that time of the night. You know, and inshallah, over time, raise ourselves to a level where we pray tahajjud as well. But let's start off with the du'a, inshallah. Another important time when du'as are accepted, and this is something each of us can get, is after the azan of any of the five daily salah until the iqamah. So after the azan is over, if you are sitting in the masjid waiting for the iqamah, that is a time to make du'a. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this in a hadith found in Abu Dawood and Tirmizi, the du'a said between the azan and the iqamah is not rejected. Therefore, make du'a at this time. So, du'a should be made at the time between azan and iqamah. Many of us, we hear the azan, and then we wait until 1 minute before salah begins to go to the masjid, not realizing we are missing the most important time of the day to make du'a. Inshallah, let us try and make an effort to leave our homes a bit early, go to the masjid a bit early, and utilize this time, inshallah, to make du'a. Now, many of us don't realize that du'a is also accepted during salah. For many of us, salah has become a ritual, and I spoke about this in the first lecture about Surah Fatiha, that we have ritualized Surah Fatiha in the salah. But if you had to do it properly, the entire salah becomes a form of du'a. In fact, the Arabic word salah means du'a. It has the exact same meaning as du'a. But in our religion, it refers to the specific salah which we pray. But why did we use the word salah to describe it? This is because this is the time to make du'a. And this is a act of worship which is full of different du'as, from the beginning till the end. The salah begins with Surah Al-Fatiha, which we are discussing. And we should notice by now that Surah Al-Fatiha is a du'a. And if you remember the hadith about Surah Al-Fatiha, then you will remember that this is a du'a which is accepted when we do it properly in our salah. It is the du'a about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, what did Allah reply? He says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. And at the end of the Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for my servant and he will get whatever he wants. So this is a du'a and we need to make it properly. Another time during the salah when du'as are definitely accepted is in the sajda. The sajda is a time when du'as are accepted. And again, many of us are not familiar with this, but this is something which the Prophet ﷺ has told us and which he himself did. Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said, the closest any worshipper can be to his Lord is while he is in sajda. So increase your du'as in sajda. This hadith is found in Sahih al-Muslim. And there is another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the salah as a whole. And then when he came to describing the sajda, he said that there is no time when a person is closer to Allah than the sajda. So inshallah, we're going to take a short break now. When we return, we will continue discussing the recommended times for du'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We stopped by looking at the time of du'a known as sajda, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the closest a person gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is while they are in sajda. And we know from the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would spend so much time in sajda that sometimes Aisha radiallahu anha would touch his feet to see if it's okay, because he would have been in sajda for a long, long period of time. Now we need to think about this and think about our own lives. Do we take advantage of the opportunity to make dua in sajda? Or are we just up and down? We need to feel the sajda. We need to feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we put our heads on the ground, we need to feel like we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we'd ever be in our lives. And when we have that feeling in sajda, then the du'as will pour out of our heart. That turns the salah into an entirely different experience. It's no longer a ritual. It's now a close connection between us and our Creator. Now there is a fixed point to discuss here where there is a difference of opinion among the scholars. And this is something which many of you might be thinking about and will probably ask, so I'm going to discuss it anyway. And that is, when you are making dua during the sajda, can you make dua in English? Right? I know many of us want to know, can we make dua in English or Urdu? Or can we only make Arabic duas during that time? There are three opinions amongst the scholars on this topic. The first opinion is that the dua has to be in Arabic because the salah has to be in Arabic. The second opinion is that in the Fard Salah it has to be in Arabic, but in the Nafil Salah you can make it in other languages. And the third opinion is, in any Salah, in the Sajda, you can make Dua in any language. Now I think the first opinion, that it has to be in Arabic, is the dominant opinion of the Hanafi Madhab. Personally, I am of the third opinion, that the Dua can be made in any language in the Sajda. And Allah knows best. This is the opinion of some of my teachers. And the way they had explained it is that dua is universal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have made it such that the time when duas are most accepted is during the during a time when only those who know Arabic can make dua. So therefore, they are of the opinion that a dua can be in any language, even though the rest of the salah has to be in Arabic. And Allah knows best. This is an area of difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Again, each individual needs to follow the opinion of the ulama who they trust on these issues, and we should respect other opinions as well. Nonetheless, those are the three opinions related to making dua in other languages during the sajda. So during the sajda, duas are definitely accepted. And this is even more so during tahajjud. So let's combine this. We know during the time of tahajjud, duas are accepted. And we know that when in sajda, duas are accepted. So when one prays tahajjud, during the sajda of tahajjud, du'as are definitely accepted. And now we understand why, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray tahajjud, his sajdas used to go on for a long, long time. Because that was a combination of multiple factors that make du'as acceptable. So let us, inshallah, take advantage of this. And another time during the salah when our du'as are accepted is towards the end of the salah. After reciting the tashahud and the salams upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, at that time, du'as are accepted before we make the salams. And this is narrated in At-Tirmidhi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ask," meaning at that time, "and you shall be given. Ask and you shall be given." And this was mentioned about the time after the tashahud before making salam. And again, there the dua normally is in Arabic. There are specific duas which we can make. Again, those duas are not the only duas you can make at that time. You can make other duas as well. Another important time when duas are accepted is on Jum'ah. Specifically, between the Asr and Maghrib on the day of Jum'ah. Abu Huraira narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "On Friday, on Jum'ah, there is an hour during which if any Muslim stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and ask Allah for something good, he will be granted his request." So this hadith, which is narrated in Bukhari, makes it clear that there is definitely an hour on the day of Jum'ah when du'as are accepted. And we all know about the difference of opinion on this, because some of the ulama say that it refers to the time of Jummah itself. Some say it's the time between the two khutbahs. But The most dominant opinion is that it's between the times of Asr and Maghrib. Why? Because of another hadith narrated in Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Jum'ah has 12 hours. There is 1 hour during which if a Muslim asks Allah, Allah will give it to him. So find it during the last hour after Asr. So this hadith is more clear and more explicit, that it is the last hour after Asr. That is the time when du'as are accepted. So inshallah, if we want to be on the safe side, we should make du'a during all these times. When the imam sits down between the khutbahs, as well as between Asr and Maghrib, because these are the two strongest opinions on this topic. And there's no harm in making more du'a and making du'a at both times. Another time when du'as are accepted is when one finds oneself waking up at night. We are sleeping and suddenly you woke up at night. You're not sure what woke you up, but your eyes open. And now you want to go back to sleep. Take the opportunity to make du'a. Now, before clocks were invented, then, you know, one wouldn't know whether it's the last third of the night sometimes while lying in the bed. Nowadays, we can just look at our clock. Either way, it's a time when du'a is accepted. You are sleeping, your eyes opened at 2 a.m., you turn around to go back to sleep. Use that opportunity to make some du'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever wakes up at night and makes du'a and says, "Oh Allah, forgive me," he makes a du'a, or he says, "Allah, oh Allah, forgive me," he will be responded to. And if he wakes up and he makes wudu and reads salah, then his salah will be accepted. This is also in Bukhari. So when one wakes up at night, take it as an opportunity to make du'a. Now I know for many of us who are young parents, we have our children waking us up every 3 hours at night. So when you wake up for the small baby at night, you can make du'a at the time, inshallah. That will be an excellent opportunity to make du'a. Another important time for making du'a is when drinking Zamzam water. And I think most of us are familiar with this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the water of Zamzam is for whatever it has been drunk for. Meaning that if you drink Zamzam water to quench your thirst, it will quench your thirst. If you drink it to heal an ailment, it will heal that ailment. And if you drink it to make du'a, it will be a means of the du'a being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, maybe inshallah, if any of us are going for Hajj or Umrah in the near future, or any time in the future, we should make sure we bring back as much Zamzam water as we can. And keep it for times when you want to make du'a, or when we want some spiritual healing, inshallah. So, during the time of drinking Zamzam water, du'a is also accepted. We know that du'as are accepted in Ramadan. When Ramadan comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the doors of mercy are open and the doors of Jahannam are closed and the devils are chained up. So that indicates that Ramadan is the time when du'as are accepted. More specifically on Laylatul Qadr, du'as are definitely accepted. And during the Hajj, the du'as are accepted as well, specifically on the day of Arafah. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that's not just for the people at Arafah. Wherever you are in the world on the day of Arafah, du'as are accepted. And if you did not take advantage of that this year, inshallah, I hope we do so in the future. Another time when du'as are accepted is when visiting the sick. Umm Salama narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you visit the sick or those who have passed away, then say that which is good, because the angels say Ameen to whatever you say. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. So this refers to both the sick and those who have passed away. Only speak good of them, and only say good things for them and for others around them, because the angels will be saying Ameen. Another time, interestingly, where du'as are accepted is when it rains. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood, two du'as are never returned. The du'a made when the time for salah, when the azan is called, and the du'a made when it rains. So raining is also a nice time to make du'a. And we are getting a lot of rain this month, so that makes it a good month to make du'a. Likewise, when we hear the rooster crowing, again, this is something which many of us are not familiar with, that Abu Huraira narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, When you hear a rooster crowing, then ask Allah for his bounties, for the rooster has seen an angel. And when you hear a donkey braying, then seek protection in Allah from shaitan, because the donkey has seen a shaitan. This is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. So, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us that when you hear a rooster crowing, it is because it has seen an angel. And when you hear a donkey braying, it's because it has seen a jinn, a shaitan. So at the time of hearing a rooster crowing, that is a time to make dua because there are angels around. So if you are walking and you see a rooster during the daytime and you hear it crowing, make dua because that means there are angels around and the angels will say ameen to your duas. So these are some of the main times taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which duas are accepted. Very quick recap, tahajjud time, during our salah, especially during the sajda, the dua of Surah Al-Fatiha, if we do it sincerely, at the end of our salah before making salam, between Asr and Maghrib on the Jum'ah, as well as between the two khutbahs on the Jum'ah, when waking up at night, when drinking Zamzam water, during the month of Ramadan, especially on Laylatul Qadr, during the days of Hajj, especially at Arafah, when visiting the sick or those who have passed away, when it rains, or when a rooster crows. These are among the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that one's dua will be accepted. I hope we have listed these down and take advantage of these opportunities given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one of us have so many duas in our hearts that we want to make. We have so much that we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us can say we are above the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always need Him. So let us take advantage of these du'as. Now, besides the times when du'as are accepted, there are certain conditions that a person can find himself or herself in which assist du'as in being accepted. And that is what we are going to discuss next. Because if one can combine between the times when dua is accepted and the condition where dua is accepted, again, there's a double chance of the dua being accepted. So it's not just about taking one of these things and working with it, but trying to do as many as possible at the same time. So we mentioned tahajjud and we mentioned sajda. So the sajda of tahajjud, even more chance. Now, one of the conditions where dua is accepted is a traveler, when someone is a musafir. So what happens if a musafir prays tahajjud and makes dua during the sajda of the tahajjud? We know that the duas during tahajjud are accepted. The duas during the sajda are accepted. And the duas of a traveler are accepted. So this person has a triple chance of his duas or her duas being accepted. So let us look at it from this perspective, where we are trying to combine as many of these things as possible in us, so that we can have all of our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the conditions when du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first condition is if someone is oppressed or wronged. If someone is harming you, if someone is interfering in one's life and causing oppression to a person, then the du'a of the oppressed is accepted. Note that the du'a of the oppressed is accepted against the oppressor, even if the oppressed is not a Muslim and the oppressor is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He answers du'as, He does it in a just way. So if a Muslim is unjust towards a non-Muslim, in that situation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the side of the non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always takes the side of justice. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us not to oppress anybody and not to hurt anyone. And he said, fear the dua of he who has been wronged or oppressed, for it goes up into the sky faster than light. The dua of someone who is oppressed ascends into the sky faster than the speed of light. This is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, found in the Hadith collection of Al-Hakim, and it is authentic. Likewise, in the more famous hadith narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear the dua of the one who had been oppressed, even if he is a disbeliever, because there is no veil between it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear the dua of the one who has been oppressed, even if he is a disbeliever, because there is no veil between this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Meaning that Allah will definitely accept the dua of the oppressed person, even if he is a disbeliever. So be careful. Many of us think that, oh, he's not a Muslim, so I don't need to worry. You need to worry. All of Allah's creation you need to be good to. Muslim or non-Muslim, human or non-human, it doesn't matter. We need to be good to all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, because they are all created by Allah. They all have rights over us. Even those who are not Muslim, even things which are not human, everything has rights over the believer. So let us be wary of this and not oppress anybody. When we return, we will look at more conditions when dua is accepted. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now we're looking at the conditions when du'as are accepted. And one of the questions which has come out is that why sometimes oppressed people are making du'as but we don't see the du'a being accepted. The good example of this is what's happening today in Syria and in Palestine and other countries where Muslims are being oppressed. And they are making du'a for help. Why is the du'a not being accepted? Again, we go back to what we mentioned earlier. When we say a dua will be accepted, it does not mean it will be accepted immediately, nor does it mean it will be accepted in the way that we want. Sometimes, what we want is not what's best for us. So, for example, if somebody is making dua that the situation in their country changes and they get to live a peaceful life, and a few days later that person is killed by an oppressor in a bomb blast. In that situation, has his dua been rejected? Let's think about it Islamically. This person who has been killed without any just reason, he is a martyr. All of his sins are forgiven. And he will go to paradise forever, inshallah. So he is going to be living in peace forever. So his dua has been accepted, but not in the way that we expected. So again, we can't say that the dua is not being accepted. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delaying it until the right moment. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replacing it with that which is better, like Jannah and martyrdom. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to change before accepting our dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that Allah will never change the condition of a people until they change themselves. Meaning that sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, but we don't see the help coming. We need to take that as an opportunity to introspect and to look into ourselves and see, what am I doing wrong that might be stopping my dua from being accepted? Because it could very well be that our du'as are not being accepted because we are not practicing Islam properly. So, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He will accept the du'a. Sometimes He's waiting for us to change. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delaying it till the right moment. Sometimes He's answering it in ways that we do not expect. We need to stop thinking in a dunya way and thinking in a akhirah way, in a more real, in a more Islamic way. That when a Muslim dies, they are martyrs and they go to paradise in these oppressive situations. So you cannot say the dua was not accepted because such a person will be in paradise forever. And what more could they want? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's best for us. And sometimes He answers our duas in ways other than what we expected. So we mentioned how the oppressed person's dua is accepted, even if he is a disbeliever. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, even if he is a sinner. Because his sin is against himself, but you are oppressing him. So anybody's dua is accepted in that situation. Likewise, somebody who finds themselves in a very difficult situation in this world, at a time of trial and difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as, even if they're not Muslim. We find the example of this in the Quran, of people who worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they commit shirk, and then they go out into the ocean, and a storm breaks out, and they fear that their ship is going to be sunk, so they make du'a to Allah alone to save them, and Allah saves them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after they are saved, they return to their shirk. The point is that these people during the difficult time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua even though they were worshipping other than Allah. So even more chance of those of us who worship Allah alone to have our duas accepted during difficult times. Likewise, after a calamity, if a person shows sabr, the reward for this is their du'as being accepted in a major way. What does Rasulullah ﷺ say about this? It's a very interesting story about this, narrated by Umm Salama. Umm Salama, who we know to be the wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, she was not always his wife. Before that, she was married to one of the great Sahaba known as Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. And Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, during the Medina period of our Islamic history, he passed away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught Umm Salama and said, there is no Muslim who is afflicted by a calamity and he says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to Allah we belong and to him we will return. O Allah, give me the reward of being patient for this calamity and grant me something better than it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no Muslim who does this except that Allah will give him something better than it. Umm Salama narrates that when her husband Abu Salama passed away, she made this dua. But she kept thinking in her heart, who is better than Abu Salama? Because she loved her husband so much, she couldn't imagine marrying a man who was better than Abu Salama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua, and she ended up marrying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and becoming one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, and the women of paradise. So this is a very, very important time to make dua. When something bad happens in our life, that is one of the ultimate tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we react negatively and say, why me? Why did Allah do this to me? And things like that. Or do we react as believers and say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to Allah we belong and to him we will return. And you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us through it and to give us the strength to overcome our difficulties and to replace it with that which is better than it. That is the way of the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the way of sabr. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that sabr is at the beginning of the calamity. If something bad happens and after a few months we begin to accept it, everybody can do that. That's not sabr. Sabr is to accept it at the moment when things go wrong. When something happens which we don't want to happen in our lives, something terrible in this worldly sense happens to us, at that moment, to be patient and to accept Allah's qadr. It doesn't mean you don't be sad. You do be sad, but you don't say that which is displeasing to Allah. The best example of this is when the Prophet ﷺ's son Ibrahim passed away. The Prophet ﷺ was burying him and tears were coming out of his eyes. And the Sahaba asked him, oh Rasulullah, are you crying? Rasulullah ﷺ replied, the eyes cry and the heart feels sad, but we will not say anything except what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how the believer reacts at the time of difficulty. There's nothing wrong with crying with our eyes. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad in our heart. But don't ever see anything displeasing to Allah. Say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Say, oh Allah, give me the patience to overcome this difficulty. Say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me get through this difficult time. That is the way of Islam. So at times of difficulty and calamities, if we are patient, then inshallah our du'as will be accepted. Another time when du'as are accepted is when traveling. And we mentioned this already, that the du'as of the traveler are accepted. So if you are traveling, make a lot of du'a. And if you know somebody else who is traveling, ask them to make du'a for you. Likewise, the dua of the parents are accepted. This is very important. The duas of the parents are accepted, whether they make dua for the child or against the child. This is why every parent should bear in mind, don't ever say anything wrong to your child. Don't ever make dua against your child, because the duas of the parents are accepted. Even when your child is being naughty, say, oh Allah, make my child pious. Because your duas are accepted. Your duas are accepted. This is a position that Allah has given you to be a parent. A position where duas are accepted. So the duas of the parents, whether it is for or against their children, are accepted. So always make dua for our children. And likewise, we as the youngsters should always do things to make our parents want to make duas for us, and never do things to make them want to make dua against us. Likewise, just like the duas of the parents are accepted for the children, the duas of the children are accepted for their parents, especially after they pass away. We know this from the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, where he said, when a person dies, all of his actions end except three. Any sadaqah jariyah which he left behind, meaning continuous charity. Any knowledge which he taught other people and they continue to benefit from. And a pious child that he left behind that makes dua for him. So here it is clear that if you left behind a pious child and that child makes dua for you, those duas will be accepted. So let us raise our children upon piety. My brothers and sisters, each of us are going to pass away one day. We need to think about what are we leaving as the next generation. Are we training our children to be righteous leaders of the believers? Or are we leaving them to live whatever lives they want, even if it's un-Islamic? We want to leave behind youngsters and a new generation who are even better Muslims than us. We want them to be even better Muslims than us. We want them to make dua for us when we have passed away. We want them to help others and to improve the condition of the ummah. And this doesn't come about by chance. This only comes about by an effort on our part to reform our children and to make their tarbiyah and to raise them to be righteous Muslims. So let us raise righteous children, the type of children who will make dua for us after we pass away, and those duas will be accepted. Another person whose dua is accepted is someone who is fasting. The fasting person's duas are accepted, and we all are very familiar with this. Likewise, someone who is performing the Hajj or Umrah, and they do it properly, their duas are accepted. So inshallah, if you go for Hajj or Umrah in the future, take a dua list. Make sure you take a dua list. Write down every dua that you want to make, take it with you and make it there, because that is a time when duas are accepted. And one of the most important duas or conditions where dua is accepted, and I want everyone to pay attention to this one, is when you make dua for somebody else when they're not around. You think about somebody who doesn't even know that you're making dua for them, but you make a good dua for them. This is a sign of Islamic brotherhood. This is a sign of a true believer, someone who loves for their brothers what they love for themselves. And about this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there is no Muslim who makes dua for another Muslim in his absence, except that the angels will say, and for you too. Meaning that whatever dua you make for another Muslim in their absence, the angels make the same dua for you. Now sometimes we say, but that person doesn't make dua for me. So what? Don't you want the angels to make dua for you instead? Be good to everyone. Even to those who are bad to us, make dua, oh Allah, make him pious. Oh Allah, make her righteous. Oh Allah, guide them. Oh Allah, make them better people. And you are making that dua for those who are harming you. That in itself is a source of reward. On top of that, the angels are making the same dua for you. So this is a very, very important dua to make. That you make dua for people when they're not around. And this is something which I spoke about recently on Facebook, that we find a lot of people saying, make dua for me. Right? This is a very common statement, make dua for me. And we all say yes. But seriously, think about it. How many of us actually make dua for that person? How many of us, when someone said, make dua for me, we went home and we made dua for them? Or we woke up at the Hajj time and we made dua for them? or at iftar time, we made dua for them. Or in our sajda, we made dua for them. When someone tells us to make dua for them, let's take it seriously. This is not just words that we pass around. This is something which can benefit both you and that person in both worlds. So next time, when someone says, make dua for me, take that person's name and make dua. I personally like to keep a record of all the people who have asked me to make dua for them, so I can, inshallah, remember them by name. Because it gets difficult to remember everybody by name. But we should make an effort, because not only is the dua accepted for that person, but it's accepted for you as well. So if you're making dua for somebody else, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the best of both worlds, the angels are making that dua for you as well. Likewise, the dua of someone who always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also accepted. And the dua of a just ruler is also accepted. Why a just ruler? Because look at the world today. Look around at the world today, you'll realize that majority of people, when put into a position of power, they become oppressive or abusive, or they misuse that power. A just ruler, a ruler who is truly just, this is a sign of taqwa. And this is something which is very difficult to do. And so such a person's du'as are accepted as well. So these are some of the conditions which can assist our du'as in being accepted. Again, just a recap of that. If someone is oppressed, their du'as are accepted. If someone is in a difficult circumstance, their du'as are accepted. After something bad happens, if one is patient, one's du'as are accepted. The du'as of the traveler, the du'as of the fasting person, the du'as of parents, the du'as of children. The du'a that you make during Hajj or Umrah, the du'a you make for someone when they are not around, all of these are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the du'a of a just ruler is also accepted. So these are the conditions in which du'as are accepted. We'll take a short break now. When we return, we'll recap on this verse of the Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are concluding our tafsir of verse 4 of Surah Fatiha. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. We spent 1 week looking at the concept of worship and what does it mean to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We spent another episode looking at what does it mean to make dua to Allah alone and what are the etiquettes of dua. And today we looked at what are the times and conditions in which dua is accepted. I want to close off by quickly mentioning some of the things which stop dua from being accepted, so that we can, inshallah, stay away from these things. And the first and most important is haram sources of income or haram food. And I mentioned this hadith a few weeks ago, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a traveler who was lost and disheveled and dusty raised his hand to the sky and said, oh my Lord, and made dua. But his food was haram, his drink was haram, and his clothes were haram. So how could his duas be answered? This hadith is very clear that if our wealth, our sources of income are haram, or if our food is haram, or anything which we are nourishing our bodies with is haram, then we should not expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our duas, even if we have the other conditions fulfilled. Unfortunately, we live in a time where many of us are not weary of our sources of income, whether they are halal or haram. We look for loopholes. We say, no, it's not haram, it's just makruh. Or there's difference of opinion. We need to really think about this. This is a very, very important topic. Having haram income is so severe that one's du'as are not accepted. So we shouldn't take it lightly. We rather live a simpler life and earn less, but know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and is pleased with us, then be greedy for wealth and displease Allah in the process. At the end of the day, however much wealth we are meant to make, we will make it. Because our risk has already been predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that we choose is whether we earn it in a halal or haram way. That's something we need to firmly believe in. That what we are going to earn, we will get it one way or the other, because it's written for us, it's in our taqdeer. Our choice is, do we get that money in a halal way or haram way? We need to focus on getting it on the halal way. And sometimes we don't see how. But Allah grants miracles to those who fear Him. And whoever has fear of Allah, Allah will grant for them a way out, and provide for them from places they do not expect. This is clearly mentioned in Surah Talaq, and this is something we should sincerely believe in. So, haram income stops du'as from being accepted. Likewise, excessive sins. Excessive sins stop one's du'as from being accepted. Let's stay away from sins as much as possible, and whatever we do, slip up and make mistakes and commit sins, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and move on. Another thing which stops du'as from being accepted is being hasty, wanting your du'a to be accepted immediately. If we are like this, then this actually prevents the du'a from being accepted. Likewise, giving up. If someone stops making du'a and say, my du'as are not being accepted, that stops the du'a from being accepted. Another thing which will prevent our du'a from being accepted is if we make du'a for something haram. Allah obviously will not accept that du'a. So, these are just some of the things which stop the du'a from being accepted. I'm not going to go into much more details about that. We need to focus, inshallah, on developing a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached our conclusion of verse 4 of Surah Fatiha. What we have learned from the first 4 verses, the first 3 verses describe to us who Allah is, and the 4th verse describes to us what should be our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if one understands the first 4 verses of Surah Fatiha, you understand who our Creator is and how we should deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in that we should worship Him only and ask of Him only. We should submit to Him. Islam, submission. So we understand that Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of this universe. Nothing happens without His will. That Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He is most merciful. Anything good that we see is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is Malik Yawmiddin, the master of the Day of Judgment, that we will be answerable to Him for every deed that we do. And we understand that Iyaka Na'budu, You alone we worship. There is no room in Islam for worshipping anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, and You alone we ask for help. There is no room in Islam for making dua to anyone besides Allah. With that, alhamdulillah, we come to the last few verses of Surah Fatiha, which we will begin discussing next week, starting with Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, the dua. The first 4 verses were the description of Allah, and the last 3 verses are dua to Allah. The most important dua that we can ever make, the dua for guidance. So we will look at this dua, inshallah, in details over the next few weeks. What is meant by guide us to the straight path? What is guidance? What is the straight path? Who are those who Allah has favored? Who are those who Allah is angry with? And who are those who have gone astray? We will look at each of these topics in detail over the next few weeks, inshallah, as we come closer to the conclusion of our tafsir of the most important surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. With that, I would like to conclude for today. I will see you all next week, inshallah, for tafsir of verse 5 of Surah Al-Fatiha. Jazakallah khairan wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.